pulling out the coupe at the lot. Told him 12 swat, buzzing all the bells out the box. I just hit a lick with the box, had to put the stick in the box.
Welcome into ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. My name is Angelo Carriero, and you're joining me on a pretty gloomy Sunday morning. And you know what? My spirits are high. I don't know why. Because Kentucky sports are not going that great. Between the basketball team and the game against Notre Dame, which I'll get to in just a second. I want to kind of let you know what's going on here. I've got Coach Nathan McPeak, Frederick Douglass High School, coming on at 10:15 to talk about the Broncos season and a really special class of young men to me, because this is the first full senior class at Frederick Douglass High School, I guess for all sports, but specifically for football. And my first game here on varsity game night, which is, of course, our high school program here, on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. It was my first game that I covered as a sideline reporter, period, ever, was a Frederick Douglass Broncos game in their first game. So it means there's just kind of a special connection there. Can't wait to talk to Coach McPeak about their season, what the expectations are for the program going forward, and, of course, talk a little bit about Dakell Crowdis and Jagger Burton and what they bring to the university of Kentucky coming this year and how easy their transitions will be into the college football game. I also have Coach Wes Johnson of Paul Lawrence Dunbar, because those Bulldogs this year, I think, caught a lot of people by surprise. But if you listened to Varsity Game Night and heard the broadcast that we had to do with the team, you knew that that team had something special. I couldn't put my finger on it. To just complete ball each side. And some really special players, some really special talents, and they got some guys returning. I'm going to talk to Coach Johnson and talk about the year that he had. And I'm really happy about the season that the Bulldogs had, making it all the way to the state semifinals. But first thing I want to talk about, because I said it was a gloomy morning and a gloomy outlook for Kentucky sports, and I want to start with the way I see it. Last week at the end of my show, I got a text from a friend of mine that's a friend that knows a good amount of the inner dealings about what's going on in Kentucky sports. And I got the tip that Eddie Grand was about to be let go. And an hour later, there were multiple reports from multiple outlets that had come out. So I have had 7 full days to talk about or to think about Eddie Grand and his tenure at the University of Kentucky. I think that after all of these years, all the criticisms, most, I think rightly so, some undeserved. I think one of the undeserved criticisms that Grand got a lot was how conservative he played, when I think he played the hand he was dealt. And he made the most of it. And let's take it back to about 2017, 2016. We saw the beginnings of a pretty astounding run game. Boom Williams, Benny Snell, both over 1,000 rushing yards. It really started the era we currently know of Kentucky football. Steven Johnson ending up being the starting quarterback, and I know some of that was due to injury, but the ability to see a guy that I think has been the best quarterback under Eddie Grand, this Coach Stoops era, to be able to recognize that, put him at the starting quarterback, let him fail so he could succeed, I thought that was a heads-up move. Had Juice Johnson But he was really the only receiver this entire time that had a consistent effect on the games. And someone that you could rely on almost during the entire era here. Had his best wide receiver crew last year. And then Terry goes down. Sawyer Smith goes down. Can't utilize what was, again, what I thought was a very, the best wide receiver roster that the University of Kentucky has had. I think when we talk about Eddie Grand and his time here and the want to get better, the want to do more, it's almost that Pat Riley-esque disease of me, disease of more. As fans, you see success and you see recruits, you see improvement, and you want more, you want more, you want more. And at the University of Kentucky football, over the last 20 years, there have been two defined eras of true top level, not even, again, not even SEC East champion level. That's how, when looking at the University of Kentucky and what success is, you first have to look at where's the bar. I know there's a lot of people that want Coach Stoops gone so you can get an improvement at the head coaching position. But Mark Stoops is the one that set the bar. Eddie Grant has helped set the bar about where your expectations should be. So I think that foundation's a little bit on sand when wanting to move on from coaches. But I digress. You look at the Rich Brooks era, and you've got what I grew up in, what I found as the memories of a lifetime sports-wise in Kentucky football. With Andre Woodson, Stevie Johnson, with Keenan Burton, Raphael Little, Dickie Lyons Jr., Jacob Tammy, Gary Williams, Myron Pryor, Corey Peters, Jeremy Jarman, Wesley Whittier, Travard Lindley, we all remember. Special team, special wins. I remember three that stick out the most. 2006 Georgia, Matt Stafford's freshman year, come into Commonwealth Stadium, victory. 2007, I was at the Louisville game at Commonwealth. 40-34, Andre Woodson to Stevie Johnson, upper deck, remember the play like it was yesterday. LSU, number one team in the nation, comes to Commonwealth, victory. Remember it like it was yesterday. And for all of the want of more here, what I come to have figured out is that people are starting to look too narrow in this because of, I think, how good the consistency has been here. Because I have been told, well, look at the wins that Brooks had. Kentucky doesn't have that here under Stoops, under Grand. Really? Let's take a look back. The first big win to me in the history of this program, under the Stoops era, is in what I thought was an incredibly disappointing season, what I thought might be a fireable season from Stoops. They defeated University of Kentucky Wildcats football team, defeated Lamar Jackson in his Heisman-winning season after everybody thought it was a pretty bum year. I think Louisville was favored by almost 20 points in that game, if not more. And Kentucky was able to pull that out. You look at two wins against Tennessee, breaking a 31-year streak against Florida, 10-3 season Penn State. And all of that isn't done without Eddie Grant. The reason why I say that is because, and this is the last time I'll be able to say this because I've said it for a long time. You look at the receivers, you look at some of the quarterbacks that Kentucky's had, Eddie Grand was playing with the hand he was dealt. I've always said that Eddie Grand is the type, you can give him $10 and take him to the grocery store and say, hey, make me a meal. And he'll come back, $10 worth of ingredients, make you a meal. You can give him $100 and say, hey, go to the store, make me a meal. He's going to come back and he's going to bring you the same, he's going to make you the same exact meal for $10, $100. I know Coach Schlarman had to do had a lot to do with the offensive line and the success of this run game. But I don't think there are five, I don't think there are three offensive coordinators in the country that could do what Eddie Grant did last year with the Lynn Bowden situation, with losing the two quarterbacks, with putting Bowden and running essentially a 1945 offense of just run the ball with your best athlete. I don't think there are many people that could do that. I think that he was a big part, along with Coach Schlarman, of creating an SEC team at Kentucky that could out-physical your opponent. And I never thought that would happen at Kentucky against the likes of your Floridas, your Tennessees, your Georgias, your South Carolinas, your Alabamas, your LSUs, your Texas A&Ms. For Kentucky to come in and be able to play more physical, a harder grinder game, I didn't think that was possible, and I think Eddie Grant had a lot to do with it. With Bo Allen coming in, with some of the receivers that are coming in that you hope get better, I do think it was time to move on. I think it is time to get an offensive coordinator in that has an expertise in a pass game, and I know that Coach Grant had that at Cincinnati, but it's not like that. It's not like that here. I think it is time to get someone that can throw the way your Alabamas, your Floridas, at least this year, LSU last year, those types of offenses, because I think Bo Allen is the future of this program, and he needs someone that can put him. Preferably, I wish it was Neil Brown coming back, but obviously he's the head coach at West Virginia. There are a couple candidates out for the OC that I think they are going to build the program around Bo Allen's passing ability, and I can't wait. And I don't think Eddie Grant was the man for that job. But for the job that the University of Kentucky football team needed the last couple of years, the last half decade, I think Eddie Grant was the right man for the job. And I want to say thank you, Eddie Grant. And that's the way I see it. So University of Kentucky yesterday, I'll have to get to that in a little bit. Nail-biter lost to Notre Dame after what was one of the worst first halves that I've ever seen. But I've got to move on. I've got Coach Nate McPeat of the Frederick Douglass Broncos. We're going to talk a little bit about the Frederick Douglass Broncos season. We're going to talk about the program and the macro. And we are going to get to Dakell Crowdis and Jagger Burton and what they can do for the University of Kentucky. All right here, Angelo Carriero, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world. WLXG.com. ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Angelo Carriero here, giving you a central spotlight on Lexington, Kentucky sports, sports from all around the nation, all that. And one of my favorite things to do is talk about local high school football here in Lexington, obviously a part of the Varsity Game Night program that I do play-by-play for. I had just completed my fourth year, second year is play-by-play. And in those 4 years, I've got to cover a lot of programs and a lot of teams. But the one that kind of has a special connection in my heart is the Frederick Douglass Broncos. And the reason why is because their first game as a program was my first game on the Lexington High School football scene, my first game as a sideline reporter, my first game as a part of the Varsity Game Night program. So I kind of got to grow along in my job and my role as these young men have at that program. And I couldn't be any more excited to have on the man that has also been with the program all 4 years, just completed his first year as a head coach, Nathan McPeat. Nate, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, I'm glad to have you on, man. I'm glad that you were willing to come on and talk some football with me this morning, because, Coach, I gotta say, your team lost a nail biter in the semifinals against a quarterback that I think a lot of people think is going to be a big time, next level guy, all of that. But what I'm impressed by is that I think a lot of people view it as a disappointment. And for a team that is in the fourth year of its entire beginnings, that there's an expectation that being one of the final four teams in the class of 5A would be considered a disappointment. It just shows how well you all have done in building up this program in just four short years.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Obviously, we're very disappointed in our performance on Friday night, and that starts with me as the head football coach. You know, all losses are always on the coaches, and you know, I wish we would have done something a little bit better to get us started, you know, better in the first half. I think that disappointment kind of stems from the talent that we have on our team, and that's okay. You know, I was asked that question a lot this past week before the Owensboro game, is do you feel pressure? And I don't put any more pressure on myself, you know, I put more pressure on myself to do well than probably anybody could. But we just really played a bad first quarter. I mean, we got down, we threw a pick six the first play of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, we got down 21-0 quick, you know, just played really, really bad. And our kids at halftime, you know, Dane goes up and makes a great catch for 89-yard touchdown, just, you know, caught it over this kid and kind of got us going. We're 21-7. And then our kids at halftime, you know, just said, hey, let's go out and have fun for 24 minutes and see what happens. And, you know, we go up and score 27 straight points and go up 27-21. And, you know, then we don't cover a kick real well. They bring it back and score on the next possession. And, you know, they make their extra point. We miss ours. And, you know, then we get down there and, you know, don't execute what we need to get done in the kicking game. And there's a lot of plays that we wish we could have had back. You know, but Owensboro is a good football team. We wish them luck this week against Bowling Green. We sure wish we were doing it. But we'll lick our wounds and learn from it and move forward in 2021.
Coach, that's awesome. I mean, for it to be able to look at it in that scope, especially take that on, that's why I've always considered you not only a very good coach, but a player's coach, someone that can really associate with the guys. And I feel like that you're just – I think your humility says a lot about you as a person and a lot about you as a head football coach. Because if – you gotta look at it about how great that program is that you've built, is because if you had any other program that was new and coming up, you'd say, well, I hope by the end of my senior class we have one win. Or a season where we have more than one win, because it takes so much time to build that. Look what happened. You made third round against Scott County in year one. That was just being a young team, a new team against an experienced team. The second year, I don't care. I thought you got screwed out of it. I thought there were a lot of calls and a lot of things that should have gone Frederick Douglass's way that couldn't, and lost to Scott County in the second round in that one. Last year, you go to the state title game and lose in a nail-biter, and then this year in the state semifinal, losing a nail-biter. I mean, you've created a culture and a program where the expectation is state championship or bust. And with that expectation, along with that expectation, take me kind of through your first year as a head coach with those expectations and what that's been like.
Well, there was a thing called COVID-19 we had to deal with too. So,
I forget about it sometimes.
Yeah, it'd be nice to forget about it.
Yeah,
but it was tough. This year felt like several years as far as, you know, coaching is stressful as it is anyway, and with all the protocols and everything that we had to get done, I mean, it was tough. But I'm really, really pleased and really proud of our kids and what they did all year, the sacrifices they made. You know, like Jagger is, you know, going to leave early, and I know you'll ask me about him in a little bit, but, you know, he never set foot in the high school his whole senior year. you know, because we've been virtual the whole time. Wow. I mean, think about that and how weird that is, you know. And then he gets invited to a prestigious All-Star game in San Antonio for the Adidas game, just such a great honor, and they cancel it. So he's handled all of this just personally, using him as an example. Our whole team handled it very, very well. For me personally, you know, one of my strengths is I'm very organized. I have a plan for a plan, like a lot of coaches, because we're kind of OCD about things.
Oh, coaches are? That's surprise, surprise.
Yeah, exactly. But this year, you had to really be like that to survive. You know, you had to be very organized. You had to have all your times and, you know, your exposures, and you had to take temps and symptom check them and all that. And I'm very thankful that Mr. Tackett and the KHSA allowed us the opportunity to play. We had a lot of cancellations, which went against us.
Yeah, that was, let me interrupt you real quick. That was really rough because online, I follow a lot of, you know, your coaches, your players and whatnot to try to just keep up with your program when we can't come to the games on Fridays. And that was something that really hurt your guys online. They just wanted to play. And then, you know, a player from one school calls them out. They want to play them. They can't. A player from another school claims something. They can't, you know, they can't play them. And it's just frustrating because they're like dogs on a leash. They want to get out and run and play and do all that. Yep. And they just can't. And, I mean, that must have hurt you as a coach to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I did my best. You know, we had 28 days of not playing a football game. And we practiced right in the middle of the season, you know, and didn't have a game for 28 days. I mean, that's just unheard of, you know, not only with dealing with the pandemic, but just the overall what happened. You know, it was tough on our kids and our players and our coaches and our families. But at the same time, you know, we live the core. You know, we talk about that, just being an overall good human and trying to do the best you can and handle situations that come up with adversity, just like Friday night. I mean, I'm heartbroken for our seniors and heartbroken for our kids because we worked really hard this year to try to achieve a state championship. But, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen. You know, sometimes the most talented team doesn't win a championship. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. That's the game of football. And but our kids did a great job all year, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, Coach, talk to me. By the way, this is Coach Nate McPete on with Angelo Carriero here on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Coach Nate McPete of the Frederick Douglass Broncos. Coach, I want you to tell me about the, you've been correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been a part of this program as like offensive coordinator, offensive line since the beginning?
Yeah, I was offensive coordinator. Yeah, I've been offensive coordinator O-line for all 4 years, even as a head coach this year. I did both.
That's what I thought.
Coach,
these young men, this senior class, I've already said how my timeline has matched up exactly with this senior class. Tell me, just being the first four-year class at Frederick Douglass, can you tell me about these young men and what they've meant to building the culture of this program?
Well, I mean, I could go on and on about them as an individual, but, you know, just as a group, they're just great young men. You know, they're very coachable. They listen. They did everything we asked them to do. They're obviously in that class. We have a lot of talented guys that can go on to big-time college programs, and that's all great, and I'm very proud of them and happy for them. But what's going to take them further in life and being, you know, good husbands and just good young men is the things that they represent off the field and how they conduct themselves, and that's what I'm most proud of.
I love that. I mean, because I've seen those young men out in communities and you know, even just before game, you know a lot about football players in the pre and post games and how they act and stuff. They've been nothing but stand-up guys. I had Jagger in the studio a couple months ago, of course, masks on, being as safe as possible, but I had him in, talk to him. It just seems like as elite a football talent that you all foster there, foster even better young men. And I think that's a credit to you and the coaching staff and the parents.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, the parents are a big part of it. And, you know, we have really good parents at Douglass. They're supportive. We have a good booster club. They're supportive. You know, we have a lot of people that are willing to help, which is, you know, you can't run a program of our caliber without all of those holistic pieces. You got to have a good administration. You got to have good coaching staff. You got to have good families that buy into what you're trying to do. And then, obviously, the players have to buy into it. You know, this offseason coming up is going to be a little different, I'm sure, with the COVID stuff. So yeah. It might be delayed a little bit for us, and that's okay. I mean, these kids need some time away. You know, we've been together since June. So we'll see what that looks like here, you know, late winter, early spring, and go from there. But, yeah, just a great, great senior class. Can't speak more highly of them.
Coach, I'll talk to you sometime in the coming months about the next team and the next, you know, because this Broncos team just keeps rolling. I mean, that's what we've seen for 4 years, and I expect it to be for another four and on. But before you get out of here, all right, and I appreciate you coming on with me this morning. I wanted to ask you about two guys that I think everybody locally have a very, very fixated eye on, because the two top recruits of the University of Kentucky's football class just happened to be on your football team this year, and Dakell Crowdis and Jagger Burton. So I'm going to lead off with Dakell. All right. And by the way, you give me the official, because the pronunciation guide that Frederick Douglass gives us says Dakell, and everybody else wants to say Dakell. What does he call himself?
He says Dakell.
Dakell. All right. Well, yeah. you need to get with Mike Mills and make sure that he gets that in the guide. Well, I guess he doesn't have to anymore, but that killed me because I never knew which way to say it. So Dakell. All right. Kentucky obviously needs receivers, needs wide receivers, and Dakell is probably the highest rated receiver to all recruiting services that has come to the University of Kentucky under Coach Stoops. Tell me, I think that a lot of people want him to come in and make an impact right away, and to play devil's advocate, I'd say for some reason I feel like he will take a little bit of time to adjust either physically or route running or whatever it is. Tell me what type of impact you think that he can make in year one.
I mean, he's obviously got the tools to play early as far as speed. You know, and I talked to him a little bit about this, you know, after the game on Friday, even though it was a heartbreaker and we're upset. You know, he's got to go to work. He's got to put on some weight. You know, he's got to get back in the weight room and, you know, and just continue to evolve physically, because the SEC has a lot of great players. And obviously it's one of the top conferences in all of college football. And week in and week out, not only on your own team, you're going to be playing against at Kentucky. You're going to be playing against other guys that are going to be physically mature that are 3 years older than you. So he's got to go to work over the next 4 or 5 months here, you know, and go in next summer. You know, and I think he can help. I think it would be a situation where whoever Coach Stoops hires as offensive coordinator could use him in a variety of ways, depending on, you know, where he gets to physically between now and then.
Is he excited to play with Bo?
I think so. Yeah, they're good. They're good. They're good friends, and I know he's just excited about, you know, the next chapter, just like Jagger is. You know, just to go on and kind of have that new challenge and that new, you know, newness of playing, being a college football player and a student athlete. You know, just like Walker Parks, he's playing a lot right now for Clemson as a true freshman.
So, right.
You know, and they can kind of talk to him and kind of see what he's been going through as well.
Well, this is just between me and you. Don't tell Jagger. Hopefully, well, I hope he's listening, but, you know, hopefully for not this part, because I'm gonna put some expectation on him from my standpoint. Walker was a grown. I think he kind of had grown man size. Grown man. He kind of was already really developed by the time that he left Frederick Douglass to go to Clemson. And whenever you can be a left tackle at Clemson, obviously you have a lot of talent. Jagger is someone physically that I think with the right weight program, I think he can develop into an NFL offensive lineman. Do you think I'm far off base there?
No, I think both of them will have a chance to play in the pros if they stay healthy. I think Walker will have a great opportunity, and I think Jagger will develop it, but they have to talk to. You know, I myself, before my injuries, I was with the Packers. They're both better than I was by far in high school.
Wow.
I just going by me personally on where I was at in my career before my back blew out on me. I think they both have the potential to do it. A lot of factors have to go the right way. You know, you have to continue to develop. You have to continue to stay healthy and just get better day in and day out. And I know those two young men will do that.
Yeah, I think Jagger's someone that it's just the depth on that line so good, and I think that Jagger needs to put on a little weight because he has a very athletic frame. He's just, I guess, a little thin for SEC football at
yep.
the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that? So
he is.
Yeah, so a redshirt year or something. Do you think he profiles better at guard or tackle before I let you out, or do you think he should move to the defensive line? Because he's a good defensive lineman, and so was Walt Walker, was a great defensive lineman in high school.
No, I think he'll probably slide inside. He's got to put on, you know, and we've talked about this as well. You know, he's probably got to put on a good 50 pounds, you know, to compete in the SEC, maybe even more than that. You know, he's a great athlete, and he's very, very, you know, he's gotten a lot better in his technique, but he's definitely got to get, you know, physically stronger and put on weight, and he will. You know, people forget he's still a senior in high school getting ready to graduate. So he'll go to work. He likes lifting weights. He likes to work hard. You're just going to have to add a diet piece to it and be disciplined with that. And just like Walker did, Walker wasn't real big either until the very end of his career at Douglas. And,
yeah.
You know, he went to Clemson at 300 pounds. So,
ooh.
You know, that's something that Jagger's going to have to work toward as well to play early on in the SEC.
Coach, I want to thank you so much for coming on with me this morning. And, you know, I'm always rooting for you and your program. So I just wish the best for you. Enjoy the next couple of weeks for holiday. I know that's hard as a coach, but enjoy it with your family and get back on the grind starting January 1st. And I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Go Broncos.
Thank you. All right, everyone, I will be right back around the corner. Don't go anywhere. I'll have Coach Wes Johnson of Dunbar High School with the Bulldogs, and they are Cinderella season just right here. Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team.
Welcome back in. Angelo Carriero here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Just had Coach Nate McPete from the Frederick Douglass Broncos on. I want to say thank you, and I appreciate you coming on with me. But coming on with me right now, as it's a very varsity game, this is what's fun, because I get to do varsity game night. I get to have see all these teams, meet these players, meet coaches, meet personnel, meet people all around the city, and create a lot of relationships. And one of the ones that I got to create this year was with Dunbar head coach Wes Johnson, as I got to kind of know his program and what's going on at Dunbar. And I got to tell you, I couldn't remember Coach, the last time that varsity game night had gone to a game at Dunbar, but when we came and I started following along and I started catching a couple of your games, like Eric B. and Rakim said, you all were no joke. And I was absolutely not floored, but I was so impressed to see such a complete football team and the way that you all played. I mean, all the way up to the Bryan Station game where, I mean, Fair or not fair, Bryan Station was kind of the story of Lexington this year, because everybody expected Frederick Douglass to do this. You know, Henry Clay Lafayette dropped off, and Bryan Station went from a school that had 10 wins over the last 4 years to that. And everybody was like, Bryan Station's going to win 6A or, you know, glass half full. And I kept telling people, I was like, nah, like, you've got to pay attention to Dunbar. And you all went in there and you all pulled off an upset. Just to me, what a magical season you had. One, hey, how you doing this morning? And two, just talk about your team this year and how special it was.
Good. I appreciate, number one, you having me on. I'd love to talk to you guys. Appreciate your coverage this year for a football team. And you know, it was a special year. It was one that was also a very stressful one. You know,
yeah.
I was telling my wife after the season ended, you know, that is probably the most exhausted I've been after a season, just because, you know, you're always anticipating a phone call or text or something with somebody with COVID and your program on the shelf for 2 weeks. And, you know, but we really had a lot of luck and dodged that, as did some other, you know, obviously other programs in the state. But, you know, that added a different level of stress to the kids and to the coaches and everything. And it's really just a testament to the focus that the kids had this year for their goals. You know, we ended last year in the district championship game, and we lost by a touchdown. And, you know, there was a lot of momentum going into the off season, and our seniors, you know, the last year seniors, their legacy was the first winning season since 2005. And
stop for a second.
Yeah.
Did you just say the first winning season since 2005 was broken?
Yeah, that
last
was last year.
My goodness. And then so the year after, I mean, I know you're not gonna pump yourself up because you're a humble guy, but I mean, like, so you went in there and not only did you broke that streak, you came in and did what you did this year. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that was kind of the driving force behind this season and what the seniors wanted to do this year is they wanted to win the district. That was their goal, was to win the district for the first time since 2000, which had been 20 years since Dunbar has won the district championship. And then of course, the regional championship was the goal after that. But, you know, reaching each goal at a time, you know, we first wanted to get the number one seed in our district so we could play at home, and we did that. And then we won the district championship and kind of fulfilled their number one goal for the football team. And then, you know, when you get into the regional game, you know, you're playing a high-level game, high-level team, and you know, obviously your goal is to win that game, but that happens less often than even other things. So, you know, the driving force behind our kids was to raise the bar another notch. And obviously they did that this year, and I was very proud of them and their focus, even with all the other external distractions that were constantly bombarding them throughout the year, you know.
With COVID and everything, it's so hard during a COVID year to just to get these kids to school healthy. If they are right. In person, if it's virtual learning, then just to get them to practice, and you don't want to – that's the hard thing that people don't understand with coaches this year. It's balancing that – you want these kids at 15, 16, 17 to have constructive activity, to have things where if they have frankly a crappy home life, that they can come to your team to have structure, to learn how to be great young men, to do all that. So you want to have that side of it and also not be the reason that these kids get sick at the same time. It was almost an impossible thing that you all balanced, yet you were able to keep it pretty locked down there at Dunbar.
Yeah, you know, and you know, the kids bought in, you know, because initially, you know, we had said, you know, regardless of what you think or how you feel about what's happening in the world around you, this is what we're going to do, and you're going to be here with masks, and you're going to get temperature checked when you come in, and you're going to answer these questions if you want to play football this year. You know, if you want to reach your goal, this is what we're doing. And the kids didn't even bat an eye or complain. They just said, we just want to play whatever you tell us we got to do, and you know, they did it and did it very well. So just really happy about, you know, with those guys. And you know, because the pandemic hit, really we were having our best off season I've ever had. You know, we had 75 guys in the weight room. We had, you know, two groups going. You know, we had field work going on because we had a mild winter. So, you know, we were getting outside and getting, you know, just all of our technical kind of teaching in with them. And it was a lot of momentum going into where hopefully we were going to have spring ball. But then all of a sudden just, you know, it hit and sent everybody home and kind of stopped that momentum. But, you know, the kids kept working out from home and sending in videos of them working out and doing what they could. So, you know, it was just one of those things where this year was that, you know, these kids just took ownership of what they wanted to accomplish and really were focused in doing that.
I got Coach Wes Johnson on here with me, Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Coach Wes Johnson of the Paul Lawrence Dunbar Bulldogs, who made it to the state. When was that? You got a lot of these stats up there. The first time that Dunbar's made it to the state semifinal since when?
It was 2003. They actually won the district in 2000, which was the last time they won a district, but they went to the regional championship game in 02 and 03, but didn't win a district those years.
Huh.
That was that's kind of when they did it the old school way, where that you had a sister district that you paired up with, and you won the district championship in the regular season, and divided you up 1 through 4 and paired you up with the other district. So that was just the way they used to do it.
Well, nonetheless, so impressive. And it's just impressive because, like you said, over the last 2 years, you've done stuff that hasn't been done since the millennium. What about this group of young men, these seniors or even some of the juniors? What is it about this group that made them, obviously from what you're talking about with your COVID restrictions, it seems like that they all committed, that they all bought in. What was unique or special about this group and why you reached the success that you did?
Well, you know, obviously this group, this senior class, had some talent. I mean, you know, the old saying, it's not X's and O's, it's Bobby's and Joe's, and you got to have those guys. That starts with the player. And then, you've got to work with that player to, get them bigger, faster, stronger, and to develop them into the potential that they have, develop that potential all the way through. And, you know, they just really had the work ethic and the attitude that they just couldn't be beat, you know, that they just were going to win a game. And, you know, last year as juniors, we came back in a lot of games and fourth quarter comebacks and all that kind of thing because this team just refused to lose. But it's not only the seniors, it's a sprinkling in of all the other classes. And, you know, Dunbar, I've always said, you know, is not going to be, you know, win the region or win a district on one class alone. It's going to be a mixture of a couple of classes with all the pieces fitting in to get the job done. So, you know, we've got a really good junior class, and a lot of those kids are coming back. And, you know, pieces there are more of our offensive line and, you know, our big guys. So, you know, they were just an integral part of this whole process, because without them, these seniors wouldn't have been able to flourish. So, you know, there is such a mixture of guys, and, you know, they're such hard workers. They bought into what we wanted to do. They bought into the hard work part of it. And, you know, when I came into Dunbar, I was the 10th coach in 20 years. So, you know, there's very inconsistent. Nobody in the middle school level knew who the coach was going to be or who the even coach was. And I had to go down to the middle school level and to our kids that were supposed to come to Dunbar and really start introducing myself to the families to make sure that Dunbar was the place that they ended up going to. And, you know, I mean, you know, we talk a lot about it internally in our program. We don't use the word recruiting, but, you know, we really use our the kids in our address list that are supposed to come to us. You know, you've got to go reach out and establish relationships with those kids at the middle school level, and even right now, the elementary level, to have them understand, you know, that I'm here and we have something big going and we want you to be a part of it and get kids to come out and play. You know, this year, Camry Dryden, who is our, one of our defensive ends, who was top 10 in 6A in sacks. We had Luke Olive, who is getting offers left and right.
We know a lot about Luke Olive here at LM Communications.
Yeah.
Shout out to his dad, who's the sales manager.
Yeah, exactly.
As you're naming off players, let me ask you about one specifically. All right. Huh? There's a kid on your team that I think is a D1 athlete and is also probably the most under-recruited kid in this state. Howard Jackson, and when I say this, just know this comes from, like, broadcaster trying to paint a picture light. Obviously, this is not, you know, truly it. But to me, single-handedly –
won or flipped the game against Bryan Station. He had three touchdowns on three of the most insane catches you will see against a team full of college-level athletes at the defensive back position, and then also had a potentially game-saving tackle on McCaleb Coffey to keep him from a touchdown from a quarterback sneak. This kid has the size, he has the speed, he has everything that I think he could step on the field at the University of Kentucky day one and compete for a spot. You tell me more about Howard and where you think that his level of talent is when it comes to this next level and what people can expect from him going forward.
Sure. I mean, you know, Howard's 6'2", 195 pounds, you know, runs, has good top-end speed. He's got great hands. He's aggressive. You know, he is just one of those, he's quiet. You know, it's funny, he's not one of those that are going to be on the sideline, you know, hoorahing and, you know, yelling and screaming at everybody. He just is a really quiet kid who is kind of one of, has a really just a competitor mentality. That when the lights come on and he steps out there one-on-one with that corner, that in his mind, he's going to win it every time. And funny thing is, he usually does. So, you know, it's one of those things where he just has developed himself. When I first got to Dunbar, man, just a little skinny kid that was a freshman and, you know, just kind of really shy and just kind of in a shell. And, you know, I really took him under my wing and made sure that, you know, I got him to weightlifting and that he was a part of what we were doing. And I just saw some potential in him that, you know, because of his mentality, even though he was shy around people and that sort of thing, you know, and his friends won't tell you that. His friends will say he's a comedian and funny and he is, but
yeah.
you know around adults and teachers and all that, he is kind of shy. He doesn't talk a lot in the classroom, you know, but he just lets his play do all the talking, and you know, we're going to get him somewhere. You know, he's too good not to play on the next level. And
no, you're completely right.
Somebody will get a nice surprise.
Yeah, and that's Howard Jackson, wide receiver at Dunbar. I think he's a next level guy. That's someone that all of y'all need to pay attention to. And coach, last thing before we get out of here, we don't have a ton of time,
sure. But
just tell me why Dunbar is different under your head coaching regime, and why schools that you used to be able to pass up Dunbar, you used to say that, oh, we'll hit a couple of the big schools, we'll pass right on by. What has changed? And why should people come and look at Dunbar like they're one of the top schools in this city and in this region?
Well, you know, I think our kids have bought into the hard work, nose to the grindstone type of, you know, work ethic it takes to be good year in, year out. They are dedicated to the weight room. They don't miss. I hold them accountable for being there. The off season is tremendously important. We put a lot of emphasis on the off season. We take put a lot of emphasis on player development. I've got a great coaching staff, one of the best offensive coordinators in the state of Kentucky, who's proven time and time again that his players not only get you know, really, really good stats, but also are very well coached and play very well. You know, our defense is simple. We play fast. We get to the ball. You know, there's a simplicity about us for sure. But the underlying current that is unique in all of what we do is that we just pay attention to detail, and that we're going to perform everything with great effort and with great enthusiasm, you know, to get better. And so, you know, Dunbar has got consistency now. You know, we've got a coaching staff that's been in place for 3 years. We've got, a great hall of eighth graders coming up, real excited about them, with some unbelievable players that are going to have great high school football careers within what we do. So Yep, Man of War is a place to stop, for sure.
I can't wait, Coach, and that's not to me. All the players that we mentioned, just shouts out to Jake Smith, Kamarion Robinson, Shaheem Drew, Wes Holloman, Mason Haislett, on top of all the guys we mentioned and all the guys that we didn't. Coach, thank you so much for coming on with me this morning. Really, really proud of what you did this year, and we can't wait to watch the Bulldogs under your head over the next couple of years. So thank you so much for coming on with me this morning.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
That was Coach Wes Johnson from Paul Lawrence Dunbar. Folks, thank you for listening this morning. NFL picks, you're going to have to see him online at Angelo Media Lex. Check it out there. This has been Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.
Halloween. Taliban. Taliban. Yeah. Jumpman, Jumpman, Jumpman.